ओम ज्ञान चिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. Chapter 1, Chapter 13, Text 10, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. Here, read. How are you going to hear sitting there? You can't hear properly anyway. Come here. If you want to hear, otherwise go back there. Like this, there are many verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Vedic literatures, and in literatures which have been written by devotees, describing the qualities, praising the qualities of pure devotees of Krishna. This verse is describing Mahatma Vidura, who returned to the palace of the Kauravas after visiting holy places. And who is this? Is this Dhritarashtra? Yudhishthira, he is praising Vidura, that you have been to visit all the holy places, but you yourself are just like a holy place. Why is a holy place called a holy place? Because there are different kinds of holy places. There are holy places connected with Vishnu. Those are actually holy places. At Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings in his Sharanagati, consideration of everything favorable, that he will only consider a holy place holy if it's connected with Vishnu. So everything directly or indirectly is connected with Vishnu. But really holy places are those places which are, those which have more connection with Vishnu, they are considered more sacred. So we talk about Tirupati, Srirangam, Nathdwara, Vrindavan, Mayapur. These are holy places because the connection of Vishnu is there. But a pure devotee of Krishna, he is a walking holy place, because Tumara Hridaya Shada Govinda Vishram Govinda Kohena Mora Vaishnav Paran. This Govinda Vishram, Lord Govinda, Krishna, is sitting in the heart of his devotee. And Krishna himself says that the devotee, my devotee is my very life. So of course Krishna is sitting in everyone's heart. But especially he manifests his presence in the heart of his pure devotees. Sadhava hridayam mahyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham aranyate na jananti naham tevyo managapi. This verse was spoken by Lord Vishnu when Durvasa Muni came to him, saying that I'm sorry to bother you, but I went everywhere in the material world and no one could help me. Your Sudarshan Chakra happens to be chasing me. So I finally had to come to you. So now you kindly remove this peril of Sudarshan Chakra who is chasing me. But Lord Vishnu said, sorry, I can't help you either, because you have offended my devotee. And my devotees are my very heart, he said. In my heart, what is my heart? What is in your heart? Sometimes we say to someone, what is actually in your heart? That means, what is your innermost desire, your innermost intention? So Krishna says that my very heart, what is my innermost thought, is of my devotees. And the devotees, I am in their heart. They only think. They don't know anything but me, and I don't know anything but them. Then he says, Lord Vishnu says, that aham bhakta paradhinam nasvatantra. He said, I'm dependent on my devotees, I'm not independent. So if you want release from the danger of the Sudarshan Chakra following you, you have to go to my devotee. So who is the greatest? Who is the greatest person in the whole of existence is Krishna. But even greater than Krishna is the devotee. In one sense, of course, Krishna is the supreme controller. Devotees are not the supreme controllers. We have in the Upanishads and in the Bhagavatam description that the air is blowing out of fear of him, the rain is falling out of fear of him. So Krishna is the supreme controller. But then he is personally controlled by his devotees. You'll see the picture. Krishna is carrying the shoes of Nanda Maharaj on his head. Or he's tied up by Mother Yashoda. He's controlled by his devotees. Krishna is called Ajit. No one ever defeated him. But then he becomes Jit. He becomes defeated by the love of his devotees. He becomes under their control. So these are some of the glories of the devotees. The glories of the devotees, just like the glories of Krishna. There's no end to the description of the glories. Just today, especially, we're glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Actually, we should always glorify Srila Prabhupada. We sing this, Ebejash Kushabtu Bhuvan. Now his glories, let them be spread all over the three worlds. So, of course, Prabhupada, his mission was to spread the glories of Krishna. But the disciple's duty is to spread the glories of the spiritual master. Let him be known. Especially such a great devotee, Prabhupada, who did, in an unparalleled way, has spread the glories of Krishna. But he never tried to spread his own glories. You'll find so many missions in America, Chinmoy Mission, Transcendental Meditation. Chinmoy Mission was hardly anyone knew at that time and hardly anyone knows at this time. But that Transcendental Meditation, that's well known. And this rascal standing, smiling, holding a flower, this so-called Maharishi, he's also well known. Chinmoy Mission, he's put his own name, Chinmayananda, he's put his own name. Then at that time when Prabhupada is in America, the Guru Maharaji, who is now a retired incarnation, at that time he was an active incarnation, now he's retired, he got some money, so he's satisfied, self-satisfied incarnation of God. So actually he was rejected, so he had to retire, retire in disgrace. So they all made themselves very well known. Prabhupada made Krishna very well known. All over the world, people know Hare Krishna. That Indrajumna Maharaj was describing in one Vyasa Puja offering of his, how he went to some remote valley in Nepal. Remote means a lot more remote than this. The kind of place where you can only go by walking for maybe 5 days or 10 days. There's no other way to go. You could go by helicopter, but people don't, because in those kind of villages, if you have a donkey, you're considered a rich man. There's no question of a helicopter. So he was talking, he went to such a village, and when they came round the mountain, the people saw them, and Hari Bol, Hari Krishna, Jai Prabhupada, and showing the books. Our devotees had been there distributing books. So Prabhupada, he made Krishna famous all over the world. Actually, the movement has spread a lot more since Prabhupada left. When Prabhupada left in November the 14th, 1977, actually there weren't nearly so many centers. And many, many countries, there weren't any centers. In Europe, you'll be surprised, there was, most of the countries, there was no center. There was underground preaching going on in the Eastern Bloc. But many countries, Spain, Portugal, Italy, where our movement is so much spread now, Austria, then Belgium, Norway, Denmark, all these countries of Western Europe, Finland, there was no center of Krishna consciousness. Then all this, so many centers in India, we only had a few centers in India. Then all of Southeast Asia, there was no proper center. There was something, one or two devotees in Indonesia, one or two in Philippines. But the movement actually in Japan, one or two. It was literally one or two. I know, because I was just after that, one of the one or two in some other places. But actually the movement has spread a lot more. But even at that time, all over the world, people knew the name of Krishna, Hare Krishna. They may not know what the Hare Krishna movement is. They may have some wrong idea about it. They may or may not like it. But at least they knew Hare Krishna. Many, many people. And now even more. But Prabhupada, very few people knew about. even among Indian people. Now they know more, because Indian people at least, they have that much culture that they know that if there's any spiritual organization, there must be a guru who is to be respected. Still they have that much culture. Whereas in the West, if they're looking, who is that leader who's cheating everybody? So they're not very interested to worship the guru. Of course, that's one reason why guru is so much respected in India. Is actually one reason may be that the Mayavadis have so much misrepresented the position of guru, because they represent that guru is God directly in all ways. They say guru, you don't have to go to God. Guru is God. You'll find in India so many misrepresent. They like to quote this verse, guru. Guru Vishnu, Guru Brahma, Guru... what is that? Swayam Maheshwara. What is it? How does that go? I don't even know. It's Guru Sakshat Param Brahma, Tasmai Shri Guru Venam. This verse says, guru is directly the supreme truth. Guru is Brahma, Vishnu, Guru Deva Maheshwara. He is Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Therefore we offer our obeisances to Guru. So, Mayavadis, they're very fond of this verse. And they like to say that, well, you don't need to go to God, you go to Guru. So Prabhupada was promoting Krishna and fighting against all these things. Practically in India, not only in India, all over the world, this Mayavad has so much spoiled. Prabhupada was fighting. This is one of the symptoms of Anacharya. There are many symptoms of Anacharya. Acharya, of course, that means one who teaches by example. So that can mean even your school teacher, he may be called Acharya, if he's of good character. Education means to impart good character. So any Brahmana who is teaching, he's known as Acharya. But particularly this term is used for those who have done tremendous work for establishing Krishna consciousness. Or even Shankaracharya is known as Acharya. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him Acharya. Because for that sect, he was an Acharya. He established this in the world. He established not only preaching, but he made it a principle. What he is teaching, Madhva Acharya. He is Acharya. Why? Because he established that principle. Ramanuja Acharya established the principle. Vishnu is to be worshipped. Made a great organization. So there are many symptoms of an Acharya. One of them is that when we're talking about Vaishnava Acharya, which is the real meaning of Acharya, is that he establishes Krishna consciousness and fights against all the wrong ideas. He pushes them out, pushes back Maya by some mystical presence. Sometimes people have the idea, gurus, you just go and touch and you feel an electric shock, and then all of a sudden big change comes in. All of a sudden you see visions. But by his preaching, by his teaching, by the force of his preaching, by his conviction, he's so much determined to establish this that Krishna empowers him. Krishna Shakti Bina Naheta Pravata. Without the grace of Krishna, no one can do this work of spreading Krishna consciousness. No one can establish that in the world. So establishing Krishna consciousness, there are two points. Prem Pracharan Arpashanga Dalan Dui Karja Avadhut Karan Brahman. Describing Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita states that he spread, he preached love of God, and same time Pashanga Dalan, the rascals, he smashed them. He didn't tolerate the nonsense. So two things have to go on side by side. That giving taste for Krishna Bhakti. Nowadays we see many of Prabhupada's followers they are lamenting that, oh, Prabhupada was so kind. Where is Prabhupada now? Prabhupada, he encouraged us so much. Now no one encourages us like that. So that's true, Prabhupada encouraged, but he was also very strict. Many times I perceive that Prabhupada's followers who are lamenting the absence, physical absence of Srila Prabhupada, they're only remembering Prabhupada was so kind, so nice, but they're not remembering he was very strict. He was very heavy. Not many people could live with Prabhupada, actually. We see Prabhupada, many servants, they didn't stay very long, who were personal servants, because he was so strong. Everything should be correct. It was very heavy, because to establish, just like now we have, Mangalati has become optional. Now, if you don't go to Mangalati, no one cares. But when Prabhupada, he made that very strong, he was very strong. If anyone doesn't come to Mangalati, starve. You should starve. The one time he was asked, is there any excuse for not coming to Mangalati? Prabhupada said, yes, death. So he was very strong about this. And then the devotees, they were very strong. Actually, it was very strict. You don't want to follow anything and lamenting, oh, Prabhupada was so kind. But kindness manifests not only as smiling, but with stick. And actually, a stick is more required, Prabhupada has described. That the stick that is more required for rectification. If you want to be kind to your sons, you should show the stick. Of course, Prabhupada, he said, I'm 80% more lenient than my Guru Maharaj. But then if the next generation is also 80% more lenient, then there won't be anything left. Because if you're 80% more lenient than Prabhupada, he's already as lenient as anyone could be. So you see, if you're not strict, then optional. Then if it's optional, if you're not compulsory, then everyone will, should I go to Mangalati or not? Well, today, and some excuse will come. And then you won't go. And then you'll be lamenting because, he's not very nice to me, or this devotee is not very nice. Always being very nice. They're doing very nice. But real being very nice is to get you up. You don't like that. You think, I'll sleep all morning till 10 o'clock. And then I'll be nice. Then I like to be with nice devotee. But nice devotee means who gets you up. I remember one devotee in England, when I was there, they used to throw him down the stairs in the morning because he didn't like to get up for Mangalati. He would hold onto his sleeping bag and they tried to pull him out. So they'd throw him in the sleeping bag down the stairs. Very kind. There's another devotee who used to drag. He was so in his sleeping bag, and still, you put him in the shower room and he'd still be there. And then you put him in the shower with his sleeping bag. The devotees were so kind. They were so thoughtful that this devotee, if he doesn't go to Mangalati, Prabhupada said, if you go to Mangalati, if you don't go, then for the first thing in the day, instead of being mangal, to having an auspicious start, that it's amangal, because Prabhupada said to go, and you're supposed to be getting Prabhupada's mercy. And instead of being there singing, Yasya aprasada anagati katobi, by not getting his, or by his displeasure, you don't achieve the goal. So instead of being there to sing it, you're not there manufacturing aprasada. You're manufacturing the non-mercy. So, these things should be considered also, that now we're praising Prabhupada, it simply shouldn't be some sentiment. That is, to take a spiritual master means, is a very heavy thing. Rules and regulations are there, which have to be followed. And many years ago I believe it was written by Sridharananda Maharaj, in one Vyasa Puja book, one Vyasa Puja offering. He was saying, I'm paraphrasing, he was saying that love of Srila Prabhupada, praise of Srila Prabhupada, glorification of Srila Prabhupada, all of these have to take place on the platform of obedience to Srila Prabhupada and surrender to Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, the praise and the so-called love and glorification, it will simply be empty, hypocritical, only for show and devoid of the potency to fulfill the mission of Srila Prabhupada, which is spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So, on these days, generally, when, especially when we have a large group of Prabhupada disciples, then we make the offerings, and as the offerings go on, the atmosphere becomes very much memories of Prabhupada and how Prabhupada affected different devotees' lives. And generally the atmosphere becomes very sweet and surcharged with feeling, and as more and more, as the devotees go on speaking more and more about Prabhupada. That I wasn't there actually in England when Prabhupada, he came there just before he left. I'd already gone the other way to India. So devotees in England, they had that wonderful exchange for several days with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he made his last trip to the West and he came to England and he could hardly move, but sometimes he would just go like this when devotees were dancing in kirtan. And just Prabhupada would go like this to signify that they should jump more. And then they were already jumping, and they were jumping so much. Prabhupada just going like this. So there are so many pastimes. And Prabhupada, during that time, he was crying constantly. He was just, he didn't restrain his ecstatic spiritual emotions. So all devotees were overwhelmed with Prabhupada's blissful presence. Then in Vyasa Puja for Srila Prabhupada next year, and all devotees, they were all there. They were. Many times I think now this may be a controversial statement, and I hope people, our Indian devotees, won't hate me for this. But I often think, maybe the previous generation more, because now India is more fallen, but the devotees in the West, they may appreciate Prabhupada more because they didn't know anything about Krishna. Whereas in India, you can be Krishna conscious. People are Krishna conscious. Of course, to actually become Krishna conscious in the fullest sense, practically outside of this movement, it's difficult to find that such a nice movement. But in the Western countries, we had absolutely no, what to speak of Krishna. We had no idea even of, I mean, any culture whatsoever. Our whole life was not even in family responsibility, even any sense of responsibility. I mean, family responsibility, that's not on the spiritual platform. But even that much, that's that much culture. In the Western countries, there's no such idea. There's nothing, it's very difficult to find anything even resembling culture, or even that which is there. It's without, there's no direction, there's no goal. People don't know what is the goal of life. Even people in their day-to-day dealings may deal with each other actually in some ways better than Indian people do. Just like when there's a bus, people don't push each other to get into the bus. So in some ways you may say there's more culture. But they're so much devoid of any idea of the goal of life or any idea of the need for sense control or any of these things. So in the Western countries, maybe more, they should be grateful to Prabhupada. And especially in Bengal where they have the Gauriya Vaishnava, people already know chanting and kirtan. So in the Western countries, at least the devotees, they feel great sense of debt to Prabhupada. At least emotionally they feel that. Although I often think that if they really felt it, they would express it by acting according to Prabhupada's instructions more. But definitely that feeling is that Prabhupada didn't just institute rules and regulations. He did institute rules and regulations. But he touched people's hearts by giving them Krishna in such a way, this gift of Krishna, that people, they don't forget. Even we see some of our godbrothers. I think last year I was in Bhaktivedanta Manor, or maybe the year before, for Vyasa Puja. So we see godbrothers coming in, and they're living the words of scripture. Punar Mushiko Bhava. It's not actually scripture, this is Hitopadesh. This means, again you become a mouse. So, they've been in Krishna consciousness and again gone back to their old ways. Some of our god brothers, god sisters. Again, intoxication. I don't even know, I don't make inquiries, but they're not to the standard of Krishna consciousness. But still, they're coming. They can't forget Krishna and they can't forget Prabhupada's gift to them. And they're feeling, what a wonderful thing Prabhupada has given them. And they're feeling regret that I'm so fallen, that I'm not following. But that feeling, Prabhupada has touched the heart of so many people by giving them Krishna. I myself am seeing that just by attempting to follow Prabhupada in whatever tiny way we can, because to follow Prabhupada fully, because Prabhupada said, do as I am doing. But just to do as Prabhupada is doing, it's not always very easy to do as Prabhupada is doing, to the same extent that Prabhupada is doing. It's very, very difficult. Just like Prabhupada is writing books. Prabhupada said that his sannyasis, they should write more books than him, make more devotees than him, and open more temples than him. It's difficult instruction to fulfill. So I was writing books. So Prabhupada was writing books, and I was seeing what a great endeavor it is to write books. But Prabhupada was also traveling all over the world and preaching with tremendous energy. And not only was he doing that, some or other he also found time to spend time with his disciples. Sometimes he would sit and sing a bhajan, harmonia, singing like that. How did he do so many things? Open so many temples. So because so much Krishna Shakti, so much filled with the energy of Lord Chaitanya for spreading this movement, that he could sleep almost insignificant amount of time, almost not. Then he was writing books at night. I'm running away so I don't get disturbed. But Prabhupada's formula for not getting disturbed was when everyone's sleeping, he would write. Then he won't get disturbed. Then it's quiet. And you can write. Of course, some of our devotees, they do that. They work at night, but then they sleep in the day. And Prabhupada is going on in the day. So this is called alokik shakti. It's not super, not normal, human, not human, superhuman, inspired with Krishna's special mercy. But anyway, I was saying, do as I'm doing. And I get quite a lot of letters from disciples, or not disciples, people who have read my books, asking for advice and different ways. I write some letters, or even they don't ask for advice, but as sannyasi, it's my duty to give. So simply, some simple things I write, just like Prabhupada wrote in the letter, that you should be very strict in following the regulated principles. Try to chant attentively. I have some problem. All right, then this is the answer. And then they find the devotees, they become very grateful. And what did I do? I simply wrote, even without realization, I'm writing. And this is the actual formula. Prabhupada gave that. People are so much grateful. Why should they not be grateful? Because Prabhupada gave them the real thing. People, another reason I'm feeling why devotees in the Western countries, they're feeling very grateful to Prabhupada, and is that society is more degraded than Indian society, and it's very much cheating, hypocritical society. And everywhere you go, in every sphere of life, people are cheating you. That's also true here. Everywhere all over the world, this material world is simply a place of cheaters and the cheated. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example that